We're in Sefer Masilat Yesharim. We're in Perek Yud Tes, and we're speaking about Avas Hashem. And we spoke yesterday that there's a misconception of how to view suffering. A misconception is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends suffering to people who he hates. And therefore, if a person sees that they have suffering and then they complain, Hashem, what did I do wrong? Why are you sending me these bad things? The way the Mishnah Sharm is instructing us to view suffering is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help us grow. And a person only grows when they're put to test. The Mifchan Ha'ahava is when a person has a challenge and then he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it says, V'atas Hashem Elokecha, when do you get to express that? When your life is on the line. B'chol Nafshecha, when your life is on the line. When you get to express that love of Hashem, B'chol Ma'odecha, when your money is on the line. When you have to spend money for the sake of Hashem or lose money for the sake of Hashem. But that's when you're going to be able to express, a person's only able to express fully his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there's some sort of a test. But it's still challenging. So he promised us that he's going to give us two mindsets that if we adopt them, we'll be able to continually love Hashem despite having challenges in life. And the first one he says is Shaveh L'Kol Nefesh. It's relevant for everybody. V'hi, kol mai da'avdinan min shamaya l'tav. The first answer is that there's a mistake in the whole question to begin with. Because Baruch Hu doesn't bring suffering to a person, as we said, because he's challenging him. Rather, it's encouraging a person, it's enabling a person to do good. Kol mai da'avdin min shamaya l'tav. It's a misconception to think that Hashem is saying something and it's bad. When we say Gamzu L'Tova, that phrase means that it's not just let's try and find the silver lining, or look on the bright side of life, which is right. It's really bad. But don't focus on it. Let's look for something good. That's what those phrases in English mean. But the Jewish phrase of Kol Man Da'av Din Min Shamaya L'Tav, that it came from Hashem, and therefore it's good. Everything that comes from Hashem is good. It's a different way of looking at it. It's not there's good and there's bad, let's focus on the good. It's not that. It's you may or may not be able to see it now, how it's good. But the fact that you know that it's good is enough. Mashallah Mahadavadome. If you have a student, an apprentice, who's learning by a master, any sort of art or skill, and the master's being tough with him, but he knows that's the way of the master because that's the way that he produces students who become professional. Now sometimes the master gives him certain tasks which he can't understand what the relevance of them is, or he can't understand why the master is being so tough with him. But let's say that the student says, I don't know how to do something. The master says, just try. What's the answer? He says, I don't know. But the master is doing it because he knows that if the master will just tell him, he won't become independent in this area. But if the master pushes him, even though it's a little bit challenging, then he'll be able to bring out of himself the strength. If he doesn't trust the master, and he thinks the master's cruel, and he thinks the master's just doing it for his own agenda and interest, then really it will be a tough situation to be in. But if he deeply knows from his experience and from the history of other people who have learned by the same master, he has some sort of a masorah here, that this master is someone who does push hard, but that's what enables the students to become great, then even if he doesn't understand in the moment as to why this particular task is one which is valuable for him. He doesn't see what the value is, but he has trust. And therefore he's willing to invest. And he's willing to even be calm. Because maybe the task is hard, but the emunah behind it is not hard. Why is it happening? And why is it happening to me? And why is it telling me to do it? All those questions of faith don't exist. Are not an issue. Because the person's saying, I trust the master. He knows what he's doing. He has my best interest at heart. What looks to me like it's bad is actually good. It's somehow developing me and bringing me close to being who I can ultimately be. The first answer, which is an answer which anyone can appreciate with contemplation, is that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is good. And even if temporarily at the moment it's not pleasant, it doesn't look to you that it's good because you had some other idea of what was supposed to happen, or it's just physically hard or emotionally hard, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. He's the master and he's bringing us exactly what's good. That's answer number one. And that answer is relevant for every person. Still within answer number one. Ki afilu hatzarahu. Even if a person is right now suffering. Vadocha kanire be'inav ra'a. Einenu be'emet ela tova amitit. Even though you're not able to see it right now, ultimately it's very good. It's like almost like going to school sometimes. Kids who are in school don't always appreciate what the value of learning certain subjects are. And some of them really aren't valuable and they should really change the school in many levels. But there are certain things which are really valuable. And the child can't see at that time. Like, for example, multiple tables, right? Math, times tables, have you said. Those are very, very valuable. A person who knows them off by heart, throughout his life, things will be smoother, things will be easier, he'll understand things better, he'll get things right. If a person doesn't know that, he's bound to make mistakes later on in life in all different areas where times tables, multiplication tables are relevant. But a kid who's like very young doesn't see the value in learning 6 times 8. In fact, that one's quite a hard one. There are certain ones which are like not so easy, and like what does it make a difference if I know 6 times 8 or don't know 6 times 8? What's the problem? So you don't know the time. You don't always know the time. Also with medicine, we don't always know the time. איננו באמת אלא טובה אמיתית. כמשל הרופא חותך את הבשר או את העבר שנפסד כדי שיבריא שער הגוף ולא ימות. Sometimes to us it looks temporary like it's a bad thing that's happening. I remember once in school, we were given a picture and we had to write a description of what was happening. And in the picture, it had like someone running and he was holding a knife and someone else was also running. And, you know, write your description of what's happening here. So we all wrote, obviously, what looked at us like that. And then they showed us, like, the right-hand side of the picture, which we didn't have initially. And then there was, like, an ambulance and someone lying on the floor, like, bleeding. And suddenly the whole picture was totally different. When you just had that sliver of a picture, it looked like someone else was chasing someone else with a knife. And, you know, that was the conclusion. But then suddenly you realized that that was a paramedic and that was a doctor and there was someone who was injured and they were coming to help. It's a totally different picture when you see the bigger picture. It was amazing. It remained with me until now. Sometimes when a person is going through something which is challenging, they only see a sliver of the picture. They don't understand it. When you zoom out and you see the bigger picture, suddenly it has a totally different perspective. Even if it looks to you temporarily like something that's happening now is cruel, the truth is that it's an act of mercy. Sometimes parents or rabbeim have to push their talmidim or their children beyond the comfort zone. And the children are comfortable. So because they're comfortable, they're not growing. And then either the parent or the rebbe or whoever it is pushes them out of their comfort zone. And they're like, what happened? Why aren't you protecting me? Why aren't you supporting me? Why aren't you defending me? But then dafka, when they're outside of the defense of their comfort zone, they suddenly realize, like, I have to fend for myself. What am I going to do now? And they start to build skills they never had. And they never would have had. So the parent would be overprotected. It's something which benefits them in the long term. And when this child looks back and says to his parent, thank you so much for pushing me out. Says to his Rebbe, thank you so much for making me move on. Because I wouldn't have moved on. I was comfortable where I was. And because you took me out of my comfort zone, that's what enabled me to become great. Thank you. Sometimes we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you say, why did you put me in this situation? I once heard from a Rebbe that he applied for a job. And he didn't get the job. And he was really upset. Really upset. He was complaining to Hashem. He was complaining, like, what's wrong? And he was a very, very skilled rebbe. And then he got a job somewhere which he didn't think was good for him. Because he disagreed hashkafically with the place. And what happened was that the first place that he had went for as a job as a rebbe, there was a lot of internal fighting. And it was so much friction, and eventually it was taking sides, and then eventually the whole place fell apart. They split into two places, and there was like continued friction. Another place which he didn't agree with hashkafically, there were certain points they didn't agree with hashkafically, but it was superfluous, irrelevant. It was totally not relevant, those points that he disagreed on. And he discovered in that place the Yirei Shamayim and Ovdei Hashem and Bnei Torah, and the hashkafic difference became irrelevant. And he was able to like learn with Talmidim and build Talmidim. And he said, I was so upset at the time when it initially happened. And I was complaining against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, why did you do this to me? And I didn't see the bigger picture. So, but looking back, Dafka, by going through that situation, enabled me to appreciate even more that the Hashkafa doesn't make a difference. Because he agreed Hashkafically with the first place. But it was a mess what happened over there. Also right now, today, my mother-in-law, Be'ez Hashem, is making Aliyah. in about 3 months, and she is now in Israel and she's looking for places to live. And today was the first day looking for places to live, and she went to two places, horrendous places. Like one, the design was just the whole way, the design was terrible, and one was anyway, both in very bad shape, and she's like saying, like, why did I have to go through this? So I don't know why, but my presumption was she's probably going to find a place which it won't be perfect, but now she has contrast, and she'll look at this place and say, like, oh, after seeing those places, this is Gan Eden, this is the perfect place. And if she would have seen the other place first, she may have rejected it for some reason. But now that she has perspective, Vaday tova tohu. Sometimes you go through something, you don't understand why the time it's good for you, but it's really good for you. Hashem does what's good for us. Adarabba, yosif ahavo toilav. When you look back, when you have a bigger perspective, not only is the first thing you're not complaining about, but you look back and you say, thank you Hashem for giving me that situation, because if I wouldn't have had that challenging situation in the beginning, I wouldn't have had the healthy perspective later on to see what's really important, to see the big picture. It helped me improve in a certain way. In the case of the rabbi, it helped to improve and recognize that Hashkafa is not what's important. Meaning, it is important, but it shouldn't get in the way of teaching Torah. I'm making up. In the case of mother-in-law, maybe it will help her realize what's really important. That was just my made-up theory, but it would help me to understand why she went through that today. But throughout life, you'll have situations which at the time you won't understand, but long-term, you'll look back and say, why did I have to go through that? The tovatohu was there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. Bein begufo, sometimes it's physical. Bein bemamonot, sometimes it's financial. Ava pishu, eino ro'eh, even though at the time you don't see, ve'eino mavin, and you don't understand, eichu ro'eh tovatoh, v'day tovatohu. So the first answer that he's telling us, Mr. Shalom, is, have faith in Hashem, that he knows what he's doing. He's the boss. He understands much more than we can understand. Have trust in him. And even if temporarily you don't understand, you can take his word for it, that he knows what he's doing. He has a lot more experience than you. I once heard a beautiful voice of the Kotzker Rebbe. Someone came to complain to the Kotzker Rebbe about what was going on in his life, something similar to this. And the Kotzker Rebbe says, do you learn Gemara? He says, of course I learn Gemara. He says, and do you learn Gemara with Tosfos, Rashi and Tosfos? So he says, of course I learn Gemara with Rashi and Tosfos. And he says, and do you understand every Tosfos that you learn? I'll be honest with you, not every Tosfos, I understand many. And what happens when you're learning a Tosfos, and Tosfos has a question, and you have a question on the Tosfos' question, and you think that his question shouldn't be a question to begin with, because you have an easy answer. What do you do then? So he says, well, I try and think, like, why is the question a good question? Because obviously it's a good question, but like, I just don't understand it probably. So he says, but maybe it's not a good question. He says, no, it's Tosfos. Like, I've got experience in learning Tosfos. Like, I learn, and usually, like, even if I don't understand the question initially, it's not just a bad question. It's a good question, just I didn't understand it. He says, no, but maybe he didn't know what he was talking about, Tosfos. Maybe it was just a really stupid, language, but maybe it was just a stupid question, like it didn't have any basis. There's no rabbi left. When Tosfos asks a question, he knows what he's talking about. It's a good question. If it looks to you like it's a stupid question, it's because you don't understand. Because the Rebbe says, so when you know someone knows what he's doing, then if you don't understand it, then you trust him that he knows what he's doing. So if Tosfos knows what he's doing, the Rebbe says, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was no less than Tosfos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you understand the principle when you learn Tosfos, you understand it there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no less. When you're learning by someone great, and you realize that this is a question, it's probably your question, but he would know the answer there. And if you think deeper, think a little further, you'll come to realize that he knew what he was talking about. If you know that regarding Tosfos, then you can know that regarding Hashem. And this answer is brilliant, because you don't need to know the answer. In fact, not only do you not need to know the answer, it's expected that you won't know the answer, unless you're HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unless you know all the factors and everything of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is serving, is working the world and arranging the world, then by definition, you're not going to know the answer. Here and there, Hashem will give you insight. But you're not going to know the full answer, unless you're Hashem. But until you are Hashem, which is not happening to me today or tomorrow. So until then, it's expected that you won't know the answer. That's the beauty of this answer. It's enough that you know that he knows what he's doing. You don't have to know exactly how. Hashem will give you enough case studies in your life where you'll see that you didn't understand something and then he showed you why it was good. He'll give you enough of those just to show you that the rule works.
He'll give you some of those. But there'll be bigger ones which you won't know how they work. And then he'll say, okay, here you realize that I know what I'm doing and you can take my word for it. You'll see in the next world. That's the beauty of this first answer. It's enough that you build the faith that Hashem knows what he's doing, even if you don't understand the details of any particular case. That's answer number one. And that answer is relevant for every person. Even if you don't see, you don't understand how it's good, it's definitely good. Someone who adopts his faith, this principle, he won't lose or weaken his love of Hashem because of some challenge that comes. On the contrary, when he's got challenges, he says, Hashem, I know you love me. I don't know how exactly this is expressing it, but I know. And this act is going to cause me to realign my faith and rethink this thought. You know what you're doing. Every time something like that happens, it helps me build my faith, because usually I don't think about it. Usually everything just kind of flows in my life. But when something goes wrong, doesn't go my way, I have to rethink about it and reassess it and realize Hashem knows what he's doing. So every time I go through a challenge, it helps me strengthen my faith, because that's when I think about it. Thank you, Hashem, for this opportunity. That's answer number one. And that's a solid basis. Ach ba'aleid, now we're going to the second answer. This is from the last page, said, the first answer is shaveh lekol nefesh, v'ashniya leba'alei daya amuka. People who have depth of thought. The first one is he's almost saying that he expects us to be able to adopt. The second one he's saying it may be a challenge to adopt, but know that it's a level to reach. Ba'alei daya amitit. People who have a true understanding, a true perspective, einam tzrichim afiru l'tamzeh. They don't need to justify it. They don't need the pill. It's hard for me. Bah, Hashem knows what he's doing. So it must be good. They don't need that. Ki harei ein lehem lachaven atzam klal. Ela kol tfilatam lagdil kvod Hashem yitbarach. They have no agenda of it being good for them to begin with. But the first person saying, I want a comfortable life. I want a good life. I want things to be easy. I want to be happy. That's it. The first person he has, which is natural and normal, and that's the starting point, but he has his own agenda at heart. It doesn't go my way. It didn't go the way I wanted to go. Okay, don't worry. Hashem knows what he's doing. It's still my way. It's still good for me. But you see that both in the question and in the answer, it was quite self-centered. Even in the answer, it was, I want it to be good for me. Hashem is going against me. No, it's still good for me. I just don't see how. But it's all about being good for me. That's the beginning and the end. But the higher level, the de'a amitit, which is not natural, meaning it's something which you have to work on to reach. The first way is even natural. Every person naturally wants their best interest. Every person naturally is willing to put in hard effort in order to do things which are temporarily hard for them to get a better good. Right? People go to university and they work hard for no good reason, but eventually they'll get a degree and they'll be able to earn more money. So people are willing to do things which are bad for them now in order to have a further greater good. That's the natural way that we are. That's the way the world works. Anyone who is willing to do it. This level is not natural to us. It's something which a person can work on and reach. Which is that ein lehem lachaven atzam klal. It's not about me. It's not about me doing what's good for me. Ela kol tfilatam lagdil kvod Hashem yitbarach. Their whole agenda, their whole goal, their whole life is giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lahavdil, but it's like someone who's patriotic and he's serving his nation and he's willing to fight and die for the sake of his nation. That's how patriotic he is. He's willing to put himself at risk in order to go out to war. And if he dies, he dies. But for the sake of his country, or his king, depending on whatever it is that he holds as the ideal, whatever it is, there's some greater ideal that for him is worth more than his own life. And he's willing to put himself out for that. It's not about me. This person, it's not about him. His question wasn't, it's hard for me. And his answer wasn't, don't worry, it's going to be good for me. His whole agenda in life is, what's going to bring a Kadosh Baruch Hu nachas ruach? The kol mashit gabru ikuvim negdam ad sheit tarchu hem yoter koach lahaviram. And if there are more challenges, and that means he has to put in more effort, hinei kol mashit hinei ye'amat libam, he'll strengthen himself. V'yismachu larot tokef emunatam, he'll be happy and proud to be able to have more opportunities to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much kiddush Hashem he's going to make. K'sar tzava harashum b'gvura, like a what in English? A tzvunazot of medals. A celebrated, is that the word?
Decorated.
like a decorated officer. He's waiting for the next war to happen. When will I be able to show my bravery again? It shouldn't be a war, but if there's a war, I'm running. Like we learned about recently, who I was talking about with, when there was the Yom Kippur War, then there was someone who had been a mufaked, an officer in the Golan, and he just retired from that post, and he'd got married, and he was on honeymoon, and he was overseas. He was overseas, and he was in Sri Lanka or China or Thailand, Thailand. And while he was in Thailand, Yom Kippur War broke out, and he wasn't with news. Right? There wasn't a daily WhatsApp. So some Thailand person came into him. He says, "You Israeli, you're war." I said, "The war in Israel?" He left straight to the airport, flew on a plane within a day and a half, which is amazing in 1973. Within a day and a half, he was on the Golan Heights with tanks. And he brought a platoon of tanks with him, and he was there and he was fighting. Ah, but you just got married, and you're with your wife. The halacha says you have a year off. But Muhammad mitzvah, you have an obligation. Even a chassan mitzvah chupasa. So Muhammad mitzvah, he has to go. Don't know what he had in mind. But he had in mind, I want to show my country how devoted I am. And not because he wanted the medal. It wasn't about the medal. It was he felt, and this is what the army they train you for, that the country is a greater value than you, than the individual. And that is essentially true. Kodesh Baruch Hu is a greater value than my advancement, my career, my name. Kiddush Hashem with a capital S, not a Kiddush Hashem with a small S. It's Hashem's name, not my name, that we need to make a Kiddush Hashem of. And that's the higher level, which a person can adopt. The Beis Yosef, when he was getting older and he was dying, he writes that he was disappointed. It's hard for us to envision this. He was disappointed. Why? You lived an old age. It's a good thing. He was hoping that he would be given an opportunity to die al-Kiddush Hashem. And he saw that it wasn't happening. He saw that he was dying at the end of his life in a natural way. Like this worry. He's always choosing the greatest battle. He's looking for challenges. He's looking for difficulty. Now we say, because you're not sure that you're going to pass the test. You're not supposed to look for a test. But if there's an opportunity to do a mitzvah, and if a Kodesh Baruch Hu sends you a challenge, I'm taking it. I'm going to volunteer. The Makom Shein Ish, I want to be that Ish, not for my name. Not because I want to ask someone to celebrate me, but because this is the way that I can fulfill my purpose as well, to make a Kiddush Hashem Hashem. It's not about me. And therefore this person is happy when there's a challenge. Not because he's going to advance more, but because Hashem's name will be advanced more. L'haroz tokfo b'nitzchona. This is something which is not something spiritual. It's something which is natural to people. When you love someone else, you'll be happy there's an opportunity that you can show them that you're devoted to them. Even if it means they were stuck on something. But if you want to show them how much you love them and a new opportunity comes that you can show them that you love them, you're happy. Oh, I'm glad to help you out. Like Lahavdil, when my kids are stuck on homework and then I can help them. I'm not happy that they say, whoa, my dad knows grade 4 math. that's not what, the value that I'm getting, that my name is proclaimed, but because I love them. And I see that there's a challenge for them. And I'm happy that I'm able to help them out. And something great happened, and now they understand something more. So, l'havdil, with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you can do something good for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're happy that you have the chance to make a Kiddush Hashem in the world. Ad heichan magia otzem avato. You're able to show a Kodesh Baruch Hu how far it goes. That's the end of the first section of Ava. I wanted to say one more thing. Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were about to be thrown into the fire. And when Nebuchadnezzar approached them and says, ah, you see, where's your God? He's not saving you now. They said an amazing line. The truth is that Yeshayahu knew that they were going to be saved. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu told him not to tell them. Because he wanted them to do it, L'shem Shammai. And prove their emunah on a higher level. And they turned back to Nebuchadnezzar and they said, we don't know if Hashem will save us or not. He may not. But one thing is for sure, He is the King. And no matter what you do, and even if you're successful in what you do, Malchus Hashem is the Malchus, and you're not Malchus. He's the Melech Malchei HaMelechim. because Nebuchadnezzar said about himself, he's the Melech Malachim, because he conquered all the other kings. So he called himself the Melech HaMalachim. And they said to him, he's the Melech Malchei HaMalachim. That's a Kiddush Hashem. Because they weren't sure they were going to survive. They weren't sure what would happen. And they said, even if it doesn't go our way, it's not about going our way. It's not about being comfortable for us. It's not about us being successful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king. And we're going to make a Kiddush Hashem. And that was the Kiddush Hashem that they made. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved it. But they didn't know that. And that was the emunah that they strengthened and grew within them. They were able to declare Shem Hashem, even when it wasn't for them. And they weren't going to benefit from it. Because our ultimate goal is to make a Kiddush Hashem. So those are two levels. Level number one, which is a natural level, a person's always looking for his good. Recognize that when Hashem sends you a challenge, you're going to get a greater good. Level number two is, why are you looking for you? Why are you looking for your benefit? Look to do the Kiddush Hashem, that's what's really important. A person must be honest with himself and recognize where he's holding. Of course, that's the goal, that's the ultimate goal, but a person must be honest. And although one must set that as his target and aim towards that, but you have to be honest with yourself, like where you're holding. And to the degree that you're holding, that you are looking for your benefit, and most people are, that's what, then use that as a tool. And use that answer to yourself, it will resolve it. If you try and say the greater good, it's making Kiddush Hashem, but you still feel upset, so you still feel frustrated, and that answer is not relevant for you. That's how you can tell which way you're holding. When a person's suffering, then you should just check. Say answer number two if it works, great. Usually you won't even say it. It will just be natural. It's a mindset which you just adopt. But if not, then saying number one can definitely be helpful. To adopt their mindset and to say to himself again and again, I don't know why this is good, but like the Kotzker ever said, I don't understand Tosfos, but I know he knows what he's doing. I don't understand Hashem, but I know he knows what he's doing. This is for ultimate benefit. Shacharach, have a good Shabbos.